Well, it's good to be back. Family and I had a lovely time getting out to visit family in California over the last week plus, and we decided to bring back some of the warmer temperatures with us, but it got lost somewhere in the airport. So, sorry, cold again. It's actually winter, as it probably should be around these parts. And today, as we come together in this first Sunday of the new year, it's the end of Christmas. It's the 12th day of Christmas, by the way. How many of you have taken down the Christmas decorations at this point? Put it all away. All right, you got a little ahead of the Christmas season. You know, it's a little odd, I know. There's so much buildup to Christmas. All the Sundays of Advent, the events, the activities, the preparations that so often, once we hit Christmas, afterwards, it's like, whew, exhaustion. Now let's just put it away. But actually, in the Christian calendar, we have these 12 days of Christmas coming to today, and then tomorrow wraps up the season of Christmastide with Epiphany. And so today, we focus on that. Epiphany, it comes from an old Greek word that basically means appearing, manifestation. Church tradition, it has focused primarily for the Western church on the visit of the Magi. And so that's where we find ourselves today, taking a look at that journey that they took, the encounter they had with Herod and the Christ child. So here are these words from Matthew chapter 2. It tells us, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the child who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "Well, in Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." Now, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, indeed, here we are in 2020, and I can't help but think, as I just say the year, about those vision tests, right? 2020. I mean, that's what I think of when I say it. All those eye charts we grew up with, testing our vision, right? Whenever we had to renew our license, whenever we went to get a physical, there was always the eye charts. And I've always felt pretty good about my vision. I think I've had what would be considered 20/20 vision for my whole life. My brother, just a few years ago, my brother who is older, I think I've mentioned him before, he he started needing readers a few years ago, sometime after 50. And I have mercilessly plagued him about it, heckled him about it. Oh, you're getting so old, you need glasses. My mom, she got glasses back when she was a teenager. Her eyes had issues early on. And so I've always felt a certain pride within the family that my eyes were good. You know, it is interesting. It turns out most bodies, human bodies, somewhere in the 40s or 50s, the eyes tend to struggle. Right? They weaken in different ways. And so now, my vision is still 20/20 as I go do those eye charts. But I find when it's a little darker, when I'm in one of those dim restaurant moments, the menu that I used to be able to see and read well and clearly now needs a little more light. And my teenage daughter is more than mortified whenever I pull out my cell phone and I turn on the little light on the phone to read it. Been there? Yeah. 20/20. Yes, my eyes are beginning to fail me, and it happens to all of us, and it gets me thinking about vision, my own vision, but more than just what I see, but how I see. It strikes me as we journey into 2020, this is a good year to think about and to consider how we see. Each of us, whether our vision is 20/20 or 20/10 or 20/200, each of us has a set of lenses we wear. It comes from our place, our history, our experience, and with it are our own biases and tweaks to the world we see. Years ago, it was during Christmas time, went to a light show at the Botanic Gardens. Beautiful winter lights, you know. And they passed out some of those little plastic paper lenses, glasses, if you will, that had in them these images on the lens, so that for every little twinkling light that was displayed, because of the glasses I was wearing, they would twinkle more, right? They had a little special coating to them to do that. And I thought, that's kind of what happens for each of us in our own frailties. We have these lenses that we don't put them on, we don't see them, we don't even notice them most of the time, but they provide a certain adjustment to the world we see around us. We talk about them sometimes as our worldview. And I think in 2020, it would be helpful for us to do a little more work in self-examination of what are the worldviews we bring? What are the biases that we have built into us in the way we see the world? We see them everywhere, really. I was just out in California and enjoying the Rose Parade. We got to go see it live for the first time. Wow, that was so fun. Anybody seen the Rose Parade live? Been there in Pasadena? So cool, right? I grew up in California. I grew up every year. That was New Year's Day. We'd get up, we'd watch the Rose Parade. But it was a whole different experience seeing it up close and in person, just a few feet off the street from those amazing floats. And then it struck me. I was there with my family, and my oldest daughter is huge into flowers right now. Horticulture, floral design. It's her world right now. And so she brings a different lens in the way that she sees each one of those floats, as she knows more about the certain kinds of flowers that they're using and the habitats they're normally a part of, and so on. And so, for good or bad, every one of us has these lenses we bring to our life, our situation, our understanding of the world. And it just struck me as we were watching that I was seeing the exact same float that she was, but she was seeing it in an entirely different way. Well, every one of us has that kind of lens, adjusting our view of the world. It comes to mind because this is 2020, and then as I read our passage this morning, I began to notice involved in an intricate way in this passage is the way in which the characters in it, the people in our narrative, see the world and how it changes their response to the situation. You think about the Magi and Herod. Those are our two key characters, right? Who are they and how do they see the world? Well, the Magi, they were these mysterious wise men, we call them. Not kings, even though we sing about three kings of Orient are. We'll sing later, something like that, right? They were more like consultants to the kings, to the people of power. They were astrologers and astronomers all wrapped into one. They were seekers of truth and understanding, but they sought it mostly from the stars. They understood the world. They saw the night sky and felt that was telling them how the world is organized. That was their lens to it all. And then there's Herod. Herod, a man of power and authority, dealing with the local Jewish populace and the powers that be in Rome. And so he's a power player. And he has another way of viewing the world, another lens that he brings to it all. Coupled with that is, as far as we can tell, his own insecurity / mental illness, perhaps. His own paranoias about his loss of power. So much so that he is feared by everyone because of the lengths to which he would go to hold on to his power. He had his own wife murdered. Several of his sons killed off. Because he saw the world in a certain way. And everyone around him he saw as a threat. These were different lens he was bringing to the world. Well, if we look into our story, it's interesting with the lens and the idea of vision of who really sees in our passage. Well, it's the wise men. The wise men who are pagan, foreigners from outside, from off in the east. They're the only ones who seem to see clearly throughout the story. They see the star where others don't seem to notice it. They see it and they trust it enough to say, let's follow it. And so they make their way to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, begin to inquire and to wonder, where is this star leading us? See, it's interesting, isn't it, that the Magi are the only ones who really seem to have eyes open enough to see what God is up to, while all the insiders, the religious leaders and authorities of the day, Herod and his power and rule, none of them see any of it. They seem blind to it. Again, they have these different lenses in the world they see, the colors, how they see it. But the Magi see enough. They see enough to get them to Jerusalem, and then they ask of Herod, and now Herod knows something's up, but even as his religious leaders consult the scriptures and they tell them the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, even then he really can't see. But the Magi do. And so after consulting the scriptures, they go to Bethlehem. They see the star once again. It comes over and over again. Their vision is open enough. Their eyes are able to see where God is guiding them. And so they go. And it says when they saw the the child they worshipped. And in seeing the child, in offering their worship to the child and their gifts to him, giving all that they are to him, it changes them. It changes them so much that they no longer deal with Herod. That would have been the normal thing. They were used to dealing with powerful entities. And Herod had said, come back and tell me when you find him. But something had changed in them. Their vision had grown more clear of who was the real power and authority. And so they went home a different way, leaving Herod in the dark still. It's interesting to me that their vision was mainly about an openness in seeking truth and knowledge. Their eyes were able to see where God was guiding them because they were willing to seek it out. Whereas Herod and the others in our story seemed to want nothing of knowledge, seemed to want nothing of this new king to be born. And I wonder about ourselves. We bring it back here into the 21st century. I know for myself, there's plenty I understand and know, but there's plenty more I don't. And so how open am I to seeking and understanding and following where God is guiding? Or is my vision closed off, stuck in its way, in its own biases? As a white male, I have power and authority in the culture, and so I see the culture in a different way. How much do I understand that? How much do I know that and recognize that? And then how much am I open to hearing and understanding perspectives from other places in my culture, in our context? That's a part of our challenge in this day and age. Seeing beyond ourselves. Because when we don't, we just separate into those camps, those places of division and discord, right? We've seen it more and more over the last several years. My way is right, your way is wrong, and I will hear nothing more than that. I will see nothing more than that. That's where Herod was. And I think that's where we find ourselves often. We're challenged by the openness of the Magi, their ability to see where others didn't. What's interesting to me, though, most centrally in our passage, is that while the star guided them for a time, what ultimately helped them get to their destination was finding it in Scripture. That the rulers and authorities of the day had to bring out the Scriptures and say, oh, right, Micah tells us, one of the prophets of old shares with us that, oh, Bethlehem is where you will find the king. And so it guides me and makes me wonder, how much more will my vision clear up as I study the Scriptures? It's a challenge for us, I think, really, in 2020. If we recognize how clouded our vision is, we might look to the Scriptures, like Psalm 119. Reminds us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That was the light that finally guided the Magi. And yet, the religious leaders, the important faithful Jews of the day had the exact same passages, the exact same knowledge, and yet didn't act on it, didn't follow with them to find the Messiah. Because they thought they already had it understood. They already knew it all somehow. 2020 is a year for vision. I think a year for challenging our own eyes, our own lenses, the things and the ways that we see the world, and expanding them into the kingdom vision of Christ. It's what Jesus was doing all along with his disciples. They had one way of seeing the world. Jesus kept expanding it, kept tearing down their limited, clouded vision and trying to give them bigger eyes to see. And that's what he's still doing with us, isn't he? If you got your January newsletter, or the shavings, you may have noticed there's a prayer on the front cover, a prayer from a man named Ted Loader. I love his prayers. It's a prayer for the new year. And at the end of it, he says this: "Oh God, I hold up my life to you now, as much as I can, as high as I can in this mysterious reach called prayer. Come close, lest I wobble and fall short. It is not days or years I seek from you, not infinity and enormity, but small things and moments and awareness. Awareness that you are in what I am and in what I have been indifferent to. It is not new time, but new eyes, new heart I seek in you." Friends, as we journey into 2020, I would encourage you, I would challenge you, be praying for that new heart and new eyes, to find yourselves delving into God's Word and gaining the kingdom vision God has for us. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we are grateful that you are the God of grace, the God who gives even as we don't deserve it, the God who saves even as we don't recognize you. And so, Lord, in this year, enlarge our vision. Bring to us 2020 sight for our soul, our world. Help us indeed, O God, to see as you see. We ask today in Jesus' name. Amen.